So, over the summer, we are thinking about how we can be filled up this summer based on a set of instructions that Paul wrote to a church. And these instructions can be found in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, these instructions were really important and helpful for the church then, but they're also really useful for us today. So this morning, we're going to look at the instruction that says, be joyful always. Now, for us to understand what be joyful means, I think we first need to understand what the word joy means. Now, according to the dictionary, because that's the best place to look, the joy means a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So, I wonder what makes you happy. Is it a particular food, a hobby, going on holiday, or an event like the Lionesses winning the Euros again? Yeah. So I'm going to ask you just to talk to the people you're sitting nearby and tell them what makes you happy. Off you go. So it seems like there's lots of things that make people happy this morning. As there's lots of conversations. Catherine, can I borrow you, please? So Catherine's going to come round. So if you would like to share any of the things that make you happy, please raise your hand. And we're going to get Catherine running around. Let's see how far she can run today.
Eating.
Eating.
My puppy.
Yes.
Swimming.
Yes, that's a good one.
Dancing.
Potatoes, 100%.
Any particular type of potato?
Any.
Okay.
Pizza, burger, sausages, and TV. And video games.
Yes.
Sport.
We've got some over here as well.
Going on holiday.
Oh, yes. Oh, she's coming, don't worry.
Spending time with my friends.
Oh, yes.
I like Barbies.
Oh, I think quite a few people do, actually.
What makes me happy is seeing family and church family being together and praising God.
Yeah.
What makes me happy is the beach.
Yes. And then I think we've got one more at the front here. Or were you? Yes, yes.
Hearts. I like hearts.
Hearts. So amazing. Just put it on that. So I loved hearing all the different things that make people happy. And I had the privilege of standing here. So as people were sharing, I could see lots of people smile or even laugh at some of the things that were mentioned. Maybe that's because it makes you happy also. Now, most of the things that were mentioned were really great things. Also, I don't understand the potatoes. We'll have a chat after if that's okay. But most all things that make us happy are great. But the problem is, these things can make us happy. Maybe eating potatoes or eating pizza. But the problem is once we've eaten it, our happiness starts to disappear, doesn't it? Because the food has gone. So we then need to start looking for the next thing that's going to make us happy. But joy, actually, I don't think is the same as happiness. Has anyone here ever seen a dolphin? Now, I'm going to take you back to my childhood. When I was growing up, dolphins were my favourite animal. That my whole bedroom was decorated in them. And when I was just 6 years old, I decided that I must swim with dolphins. Now, it wasn't until I was an adult that I got the chance to do just that. I know. I was so proud. Now, when I got to see the dolphins, it was amazing because I could see their faces. I also got to smell them, which wasn't as good, but that's a different matter. Now, dolphins are often described as always smiling. And it's not because they are always happy, it's just how they've been designed. Because their mouths are curved and they've got a physical configuration of their jaw, which just means they're always looking like they're smiling. Now, I think we can sometimes put on a smile, can't we, when we don't feel like it. And we give the impression to others that we're happy, even if we aren't. Now, happiness is temporary. And it depends on what's going on in our life. But joy comes from God and is deeper and lasting. Joy is a choice that comes from an ongoing relationship with God. It's God's very presence that fills us with joy, and we can look forward to eternal pleasure no matter what is happening in the moment. So it's not that we need to be like a dolphin and smile all the time, but as Christians, we can choose to be joyful when we put our trust in God. Now, the Bible Project actually describes biblical joy like this. They say, it is a lasting emotion that comes from the choice to trust that God will fulfill his promises. So simply put, biblical joy is choosing to respond to the external circumstances we find ourselves in with inner contentment and satisfaction, because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work in and through our lives. So God alone can produce true joy. And he does that naturally through his Spirit living in each of us when we put our trust in him. Now, it's important for us to understand that only God himself can give us the ability to respond. Now, I wonder who has seen the film Paddington, and I mean Paddington 1. A number of you, but there's a few people that haven't, so let me just let you in on a bit of detail. The film Paddington starts at the very beginning with a bear, and he has travelled to London all the way from Peru. Now let's see on the screen what happens when Paddington arrives in London and he meets the Brown family.
Can you all just go away, please? Oh. I need to look presentable.
Well, I'm sorry you all feel like that, but it was my week to choose, and personally, I enjoyed the Victorian wool experience.
Well, at least you spent some time together as a family.
And we certainly learnt a lot about wool.
Did you have fun, Pumpkin?
It's Judy, and it was fine until you jumped in the lake.
It's a Victorian bathing pond, darling, is what you're supposed to do.
Not naked.
Well, forgot my costumes.
Jonathan, don't jump like that. 7% of childhood accidents start with jumping.
But if I'm going to be an astronaut...
Well, you're not going to be an astronaut.
You can be whatever you want, Peanut.
Oh, stranger danger.
What?
Keep your eyes down. There's some sort of bear over there. Probably selling something. Good evening. No, thank you. Oh, dear. Must be doing something wrong.
Hello there.
Mary. Oh, hello. Coming down in stair rods, isn't it?
Yes.
Mum.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but shouldn't you be at home?
Oh, yes, I should. But I haven't quite worked out how to find one.
Well, where are your parents?
Oh, they died when I was small.
Here we go.
All I have left is my aunt.
And where's she?
Darkest Peru, in the home for retired bears.
Yeah, of course she is.
How did you get here?
I stowed away in a lifeboat.
Cool.
And ate marmalade. Did you know bears like marmalade?
I didn't even know bears could talk.
Oh, well, I'm a very rare bear. There aren't many of us left.
And what are you going to do now?
Well, I thought I would probably just sleep over there in that bin.
That's the spirit. Anyway.
Dad!
Why don't we find you some help?
Oh, yes, please. If you're sure it's no trouble.
Of course it isn't. Is it, darling?
Not at all.
Now, we haven't got time to watch the whole film this morning. But when Mrs. Brown offered to help Paddington, his face changed. And he went on to live with the Brown family, much to Mr. Brown's disapproval at the start, particularly when Paddington went and had a bit of a splash in the bathroom. But Paddington felt accepted. He was loved by the Brown family, and he had a deep sense of joy. Because he was loved by them, he became part of their family, and he had a place to belong. Now, I actually think Christians are like Paddington. Not that we all need to start eating our marmalade sandwiches, but when we become friends with Jesus, we are loved. And we're adopted into God's family so we can be joyful because God loves you. We can choose to be joyful because God loves us and nothing can separate us from the love of God, as Romans 8 reminds us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we know that God loves us, we feel accepted. When we know that God loves us, we know that we are forgiven. And when we know that God loves us, we can know that we are part of God's family. So we all need to hold on to the fact that God loves us. And we need to remember just how much we are loved. And we can look back over our lives and remember all the things that God has already done for us and what he has done for others too. Because all of those things can help us to be joyful. And when we also know that God loves us, we remember the ultimate sacrifice that God made to show people just how much he loves us by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. Now, we can be joyful, can't we? Because God is always with us. He's with us when life is going well and we're happy. But God is also with us when we face challenges and we're finding things hard because we can put our trust in God. So who here has seen a lighthouse? A good number of you. Now, a lighthouse is a tall tower by the sea with a big bright light at the top. The light helps the ships and boats find their way, especially at night or during a storm. Now, I want you to imagine there is a huge storm. Obviously, it's August, so there wouldn't be one, would there? But the rain is pouring, the wind is blowing, the waves are crashing all around. It's really scary. But guess what? The lighthouse doesn't fall over. It doesn't stop shining. Even when everything around it is wild and noisy, the light keeps shining strong and bright. Why? Because it's been built on a strong rock and it has a powerful light inside. And that's what it's like when someone has joy in God. Even when life is hard, maybe people are feeling sad or things aren't going well, but deep down, they still trust in God. Because they know that God loves them and that He is with them no matter what. Their joy is like the light in the lighthouse because it keeps shining even in the middle of a storm. And we see time and time again in the Bible, don't we? Examples of people who were joyful despite what was going on. Paul, who wrote the instruction, be joyful also, was also able to write this from a place of experience. Paul faced many challenges. Paul and his friend Silas even ended up in prison. And they made a choice not to complain about their circumstances, but instead they chose to be joyful. Now in Acts 16 verse 25, we're told, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So in Paul and Silas's hearts, they had joy and they chose to be joyful. And clearly others heard them. It would have been a time when most people would have expected them to complain, but they chose to be joyful. And their joyfulness became a testimony to others. And people wanted to know more, as it continues later from the... I can't remember what verse, but it got a bit later. It said this, the jailer called for lights. He rushed in and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And a couple of verses later it said this, then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. So are we being like Paul and Silas? Are we choosing to be joyful? Because we can be joyful because we know that God is always with us. We can be joyful in the good times and when we're facing challenges. And maybe through our joyfulness, others can meet with God just like the jailer did and his household. So no matter what situations we know we find ourselves in, we know that we can choose to trust in God. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can worship God just like Paul and Silas because God is our creator and he always deserves our praise. And we can remember and hold on to God's promises because they help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So when we're finding things hard, we can still be joyful. Now, Rick Warren once said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. It's not that our situations or our challenges will change, but when we put our trust in God and know that He is on our side, we have hope, which means we can be joyful. So we're going to spend a bit of time now in prayer, and hopefully as you came in this morning, you were given a slip of paper. Because for our time of prayer today, which just means we're going to talk to God, I'm going to invite, if you would like to write or draw on your piece of paper something that you want to maybe thank God for. Maybe it's something that God has done for you, or it might be about how God makes you feel. Or you might just want to tell God something that makes you happy, which can lead to your joyfulness. And I'm going to encourage you to write or draw. There's going to be some music in the background. But I'm going to encourage you to write and draw on your piece of paper. And when you do, if you want, you can come and then place it on our parachute at the front. Now, I know that some people might not want to write or draw anything, so you can just spend some time just talking to God. Maybe you want to be asking God to help you to be more joyful. But as I say, there's going to be some music in the background. And if you haven't got a piece of paper and you would like some, just wave a hand, because there's some of our welcomers who will help give some out. Thank you.
Cross is enough for every mistake. The truth of the gospel forever the same. But I just come back to the simple refrain. Jesus loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Jesus loves me. Remind yourself, in spite of what you see, forget how you feel, remind yourself. To him who is able to keep us,
God, we want to thank you that you are the reason we can be joyful.
To him who is able.
And Lord God, we want to lift up our prayers to you this morning. You have already seen the pictures drawn. You've read every word that has been written, and you have heard every word that is spoken. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask if there's a couple of kids who might like to help me. So sometimes in our children's groups, we like to do things a little bit differently with our prayers. Come and help. Come and take some of the parachute, because we, even though God is everywhere, obviously, but we like to lift up our prayers to Him. So are we ready? One, two, three. So, you can keep going, it's fine. But I'm going to carry on with here. I forgot how noisy a parachute can be. Okay, we're going to need to stop the parachute, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to talk. Sorry. We're just used to a lot of noise in the children's group, so we get used to making our voices heard over. But in a minute, it's fine. Now, we're going to come to the end of our service together today. But I'm going to encourage us as we come and sing together. Let us follow in Paul and Silas's example as we sing. You might be feeling really happy right now, and that's amazing if you are. Let's give those praises and thanks to God. Or you might be finding something hard right now. And if that's you, just please remember that God is always with you, and He will never, ever leave you. And He wants to give you lasting joy.